figure, is the not like that because he was just in town, or is this just a...
Nah, this okay. just in the rotation. All right, fair I probably enough. Need to take it out. It's kind of old now.
Don't do that. I enjoy it every time. It gets me hype. It's been a fun show thus far on a Tuesday here in The Loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. However you're listening, wherever you're listening, thanks for making us a part of your day, whether it's a AM on 100.3 HD2, whether it's... we got the YouTube and the Twitch, courtesy of the Mokarem Injury Lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
How else are people? Oh, the Odyssey app. That's always there for you're you too, right. man. There's all sorts of different ways to listen to Sports Radio 610, and we appreciate you
and
doing
don't forget,
all of that.
You know, somebody says, man, you know, you tell your buddy, you know, they were really cooking in the 10 o'clock segment or whatever. You can go back and listen to it.
That's true.
You can go back and
that
listen to it.
That's something that's available to yeah. you. So we appreciate yeah. you hanging out with us. Will a five-headed monster stick this time? A couple of really interesting wide receiver ads in this draft. I mean, they're the crown jewels of this draft, mm-hmm. along with Arianti Arcery, are they not?
Yes.
And Jaden Higgins, Jalen Knoll, and of course, sandwiched in between them later in the second round, Arianti Arcery. But the wide receivers, like, I think that you look up and there is a pretty interesting group of guys in your wide receiver room. I mean, I think that you're fully in a place where there's what? 9 and then what 13 wide receivers. I think we can easily understand that Tank Dell likely is on.
There is in there.
Tank Dell is likely going to be unavailable to you this mm-hmm. next season. But how do you see? And it's early, man. We haven't even gotten these boys in the building for rookie minicamp or you know the other OTAs, yeah. and then we get to training. There's a lot of things that will happen before we get to roster cut down. However. How are you looking at this wide receiver room maybe playing out? Because I think you have an interesting group of, and I parse this out, four categories of players. Because mm-hmm. I think that there's probably eight wide receivers that we're really talking about. With all due respect to Xavier Johnson, Jared Wayne, and Johnny Johnson III, and Daniel Jackson, who was a undrafted free agent. With all due respect to those fine dudes, I think that there's a group of eight players separated into four buckets mm-hmm. that I think that are useful here in this conversation. I think there's your givens. Nico Collins,
yes.
Christian Kirk. Is anybody going to push back on that?
No.
You got your givens. Mm-hmm. And then outside of that, I think that you have some guys that are having some level of conversation for the remaining, I think, four is probably fair spots. If we're going to talk about six wide receivers, yeah. I think that's fair. Okay. You have your vets. You have Justin Watson. You have Braxton Berrios. Both of them free agent veterans that you brought in mm-hmm. to know. You know what you're getting in them. Braxton Berrios in particular has a special teams element. You have your incumbent youngs, the guys that were young guys that have been on the roster. When you talk about Xavier Hutchinson, mm-hmm. you talk about John Mechie, and then you have your new youngs, the two. I mean, basically your Iowa State contingent, the guys that you drafted just this weekend. When you talk about Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll, and it feels like those are the guys that we're talking about here. How are you viewing this wide receiver room as of right now?
Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, Jaden Higgins, that's your starting lineup week one.
You're willing to, Jaden Higgins yes. is that third wide receiver
yes.
immediately.
You draft him at that position. It's easy to connect the dots that they would have taken him at 25.
I think it's a fair assumption to right? make. I don't know that I can say that for certain, but I think it's a very fair assumption.
So in their eyes, that's a first round wide receiver, right?
I think so.
At worst, what was he, 34? That's basically a first round wide receiver. He's your starting. Receiver and gives you the versatility of playing opposite of Nico Collins as well. Obviously, you have Christian Kirk. He's got the versatility. So those are your three starters right there. And that's why I kind of brought this up. It's like you could argue, presuming he is enough of a player to be good in that role, which I think that's what they're counting on. You could argue that the five-headed monster is maybe even more likely this year. But just looks a little differently. And let me explain that.
Please.
We talked about the five-headed monster last year with Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Dalton Schultz, and Joe Mixon.
Okay, yes.
All right, Dalton Schultz to me is out of the mix. Now, anything you get out of him is going to be good. He kind of slid last year. I don't know. I mean, they like to use tight ends in this offense, but I don't know if he's
what offense. I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be the jerk about that all offseason. I apologize ahead of time, except I kind of don't apologize because I'm not going to change.
What is a Nick Cayley offense?
I don't know, and it upsets me all the damn time. I'm always like, well, yeah, we'll see what the offense looks like. And I'm like, I can't build anything off of that. Sorry. Okay.
But they've kind of told us with their moves, you know, that they're going to be sort of Patriots.
To some degree, yeah.
Run, you know, with the run, the bigger, different gap scheme. And then I think that the other guy that is crucial in this offense, obviously outside of those three receivers, is Woody Marks. That's one of the things they told us. Joe Mixon is really good, you know, running the ball, obviously, and catching the ball as well. He made a couple of big plays.
We really didn't see, nearly enough.
Well, that's a Bobby Slowick catching problem. The football. That's a Bobby Slowick problem. You'll see more now, I feel. And especially when they tell us with their draft pick, with a receiving running back like Woody Marks, who has incredible.
For a second, I was like, what is that? Yeah. If you heard that noise, one more time for me, please.
Okay, so
that noise is not just a random man making noises. That is John Harris.
That's the official Woody Marks.
Yeah,
soundbite.
The official Woody Marks sound.
Oh,
you know?
Okay, so
that is John Harris upon learning that Woody Marks is going to be a Texan. So that is the level of excitement that
he has for that player. To use the football term or basketball, whatever you want to use it. He's a plus receiver out of the backfield.
Isn't that more of a baseball scouting term?
Whatever, pick your sport. Sure. He is a plus receiver out of the backfield. So you got Joe Mixon and him. You got the three wide receivers, and that's not even counting Jalen Noel. You know, you've got, I think you could argue, keep this in mind as well. Christian Kirk and Stephon Diggs, all right, if you just sort of trade them out. Christian Kirk had, first of all, he's 3 years younger than Stephon Diggs.
Than Stephon Diggs was.
He's coming off an injury that is much more, it's much easier to come back from than an ACL. He had the broken collarbone.
Right.
And his yards per catch is like 2 yards more than Stephon Diggs over the last 3 years.
Although I think the injury comparison might not be fair for this particular circumstance because Stephon Diggs has that injury now compared to like coming into the season with the Texans, he didn't have that injury.
No, I'm saying but now you can argue Christian Kirk. I mean, he's coming off a better injury because some people wanted to keep Stephon Diggs.
Sure, okay, from that perspective. I thought you were talking about Stephon Diggs last year compared to Christian Kirk this year.
No, but if you compare last year, Christian Kirk's yards per catch is almost 2 yards more over the last 3 years than Stephon Diggs. So you got Christian Kirk, you got Noel, you know, you're going to work him in however you want. You got Jaden Higgins, you got Nico Collins, and you got another back out of the backfield on top of Joe Mixon that is really good at catching the ball. I think you could, and obviously we're going to be watching this closely throughout training camp in the preseason and into the season, but I think you could easily argue this is an upgrade in terms of skill positions.
That I find that to be interesting, and I feel like the upgrade probably more so for me comes with just a different offensive perspective, assuming, again, that the offense comes together in a way that it utilizes these talents better, because I don't think that I had any issue with any of the talents of the players that you had last year, going into last season.
No, I didn't either. I'm saying I like the looks of this.
And I do as well. Yeah. I do as well. I think that they've displayed somewhat with the guys that they brought in. You know, some of the things that you imagine they want to do, especially if you were to believe them on the idea that this is going to be a game plan offense or an offense that operates by trying to accentuate the skills and the talents of the players. You can go to Jaden Higgins. If what you've seen from him in college translates quickly and immediately in the NFL, he has probably more things at his disposal than Tank Dell does, with all respect to Tank Dell, a player that I loved for a very long time, right? I think that Christian Kirk also possibly offers maybe more versatile things than Stephon Diggs did, even though I think Stephon Diggs, being a veteran, had that savvy in a different way than I think Christian Kirk does, even though I know that Christian Kirk is a vet as well. I think I keep leaning on that vertical aspect that Christian Kirk can add to a game. I think that that's there. So I hear you on the five-headed monster. And even with Dalton Schultz, I do wonder if this offense is going to better utilize what he does and maybe put him in a better chance to succeed. So I hear you on that. But I think that ultimately it's the talent of those players is there. I think that there's that versatility and those things there. But I think the offense itself is probably where the big difference between whether or not this five-headed monster, quote unquote, works compared to last year's.
And here's the, you know, sort of the trump card for me would be last year, C.J. Stroud didn't have any control on where he was going with these guys. You know, that is hugely important. Bobby Slowick said, here's option A, here's B and C, that's what you're going to do. And that had to be frustrating for C.J. Stroud. He's out there. He's the one getting killed and crushed and running for his life. Now he can see Kirk here and Nico there, and here's Jaden Higgins. Oh, yeah, I see what they're doing. I can go here, here, and here, you know?
And 832 on the Jim Mallow, the Texas Hammer text line said they believe – My bad, Jim. I didn't expect that one. They said they believe Cade Stover will break out this season as well. John Harris is in that boat as well. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see what they have there. But can I circle back around to the wide receivers? Because I think that you have solidified the givens, obviously, in Nico Collins and Christian Kirk. That's obvious. You've solidified both of the youngs that we have here, which makes sense. You have a second round and a third round pick. It feels like those guys are making your roster when you talk about Jaden Higgins, Jalen Knoll. By the way, if you have nicknames for any of these drafts, all these Jalens, if we can start putting nicknames on these Jalens, go ahead and send those in. Let's see if we can crowdsource that and figure it out. And that probably, I'm not going to say definitively, but that probably leaves two spots for the other.
Oh, that's a good point.
The other four guys that remain, whether it's the incumbent youngs with John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson, and then the veterans in Justin Watson and Braxton Berrios. How do you view those? Because I think, I wonder, is Braxton Berrios expendable, considering that I think he is largely special teams return guy, and it seems like Jalen Knoll has that in his bag. So is that a level of redundancy where maybe you move on there? Do you view, like, what's the difference that you view between Watson and Hutchinson? Do you have a level of respect or appreciation for one of those four guys above the other? Like, how do you view those last two spots falling if we were today to make a six-man wide receiver room, even though that is clearly not something that they're going to have to do by any means?
Yeah, not having seen a single rep, obviously we know the top four. We just mentioned them. Nico, Kirk, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Knoll. That's four.
I think just saying their names more has made it easier.
I'm looking at them. That's why I have to keep their names in front of me or else I screw it up. So that's four. I mean, Figgy, you and I have kind of been saying this all along. John Metchie, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope you're renting.
He's going to need a incredible camp, ain't he?
Yeah.
Like his offseason or his, you know, leading up to this season, he is going to have to be on it. Because the time, and I do wonder also, like, well, I guess that's not the way that I want to go with it. But yeah, he's just going to have to show beyond the shadow of a doubt that now is the time where all of that faith that has been put in him is being paid
and
off.
And you mentioned Berrios versus Knoll. It's kind of similar, but kind of not. Berrios is a cover guy too on special teams. Like, he's the gunner, as they say a lot of times.
I think Knoll has done some, but
he's
well.
The kind of a return. Yeah. You know, so I think Berrios has a little bit of an upper hand, even on certainly on Metchie, but maybe even Xavier Hutchinson did some special. So that might be a battle to watch, Xavier Hutchinson and Berrios.
And I'm gonna be completely honest. I think of the four remaining, but when we get to Metchie, Hutchinson, Watson, and Berrios in this thought experiment, I think I probably immediately go to Hutchinson just because it feels like they trust him a lot. Even with, you know, whatever you want to say about his ceiling as a wide receiver, it feels like they trust that dude.
And he got more reps in scrimmage plays than Metchie.
Yeah.
You know, they trusted him in the offense, you know, much more. So, yeah, it's certainly a big camp coming up in offseason for Metchie, but I think Berrios might be in the mix a little bit.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of fun to be had watching this offense. Obviously, the offensive line is where our eyes will be, you know, pretty glued, but that wide receiver room, I'm going to have a ton of fun. Well, because it feels like it is the type of training camp battle that is, because you only have so many spots as opposed to you're trying to find an answer, if that makes sense. And so I'm excited to see what that ultimately looks like. And thank you, 972, for this very useless comment. I say that with love, but the nicknames are J1, J2, J3, J4, and J5. Thank you for that, because that's definitely going to help us keep them separated. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Tuesday. Coming up next is the time that we typically do our lunchtime confessions, brought to you by the Men's Clinic, and we will do those next.
I realized something this morning that is just the latest example of why I'm washed. like of all the many reasons that I'm washed.
These are always fun. How did you know that you were washed? 713-572-4610.
When did you know? What really solidified the point, the fact that you are washed? So I used to do, for 5 years, mind you, just under 5 years, exactly what Sean Pendergast did this morning. That is, watch the Rockets game, playoff game, big game, take your notes, you know, come up with some ideas, and sleep for less than 4 hours. I used to do that. I did it for 5 years.
Gross.
Okay. There is no way in hell.
Not even close.
There is no way in hell. And I did it.
My brother, I'm many years younger than you, as you know. And I don't say that as any level of flex. I say that to underscore the idea that you couldn't get me to do that for a week.
I
you couldn't. I say that with all the respect.
You ain't filling in for the morning show?
No.
That's what was so frustrating. I was like, I used to do it and actually, you know, be okay. I would take a nap after the show. I wouldn't really hit, you know, because you have adrenaline and all that. It wouldn't really hit me until after the show. And then I'd go home and take a nap. Dude, I wouldn't be able to function. And here's the sad part, and maybe it's going to hit Sean here pretty soon. I'm not that much older than Sean. I think maybe 6-7 years, something like that. He's going to text and correct me if it's more than that.
Hi, Sean.
But there is no way in hell, Figgy. None. Yeah. None.
It's a young man. Well,
the morning show for me is a young man's game. I'll say it.
Yeah,
I will say it.
I just realized that I had a little bit of audio here that I forgot to send, but I will give you a general summation of it. Steph Curry, after their victory over the Rockets last night, 109-106, that put the series up 3-1 in the Warriors' favor. I don't know if y'all was watching it and saw Steph Curry out here talking that talk. You see him give that that two to
what
Dylan
did that
Brooks,
mean?
Let him know you have two fouls. That's
okay. I wasn't sure what that meant.
There was that.
I thought it was a little piece.
There was one time where they cut where like he was basically yelling. I was like, is he yelling profanity at somebody on the court? And I've got to confess, I understand that this probably isn't even like fair. I know people could contain multitudes, but it annoys me just how much people do the Steph Curry as humble Christian man.
Oh yeah.
Baby face and all that. And he is like, he is a Christian dude. He seems to be like generally a good dude. I don't take that from you, but I don't feel like you get to be just that when you be out here shimmying and shaking and talking that crap, you know, on the court as frequently as he does. I'm just like, yo, why do people not consider him in that same way? And it was highlighted again last night when he did that. And started, and he was also complaining in ways. I'm like, hey, dog, really?
I'm glad he got that technical too, by the way.
That's right. Which he earned. Yeah. He did earn it.
No, I thought they wasn't going to give it to him. I thought Dylan Brooks was going to be the one that get it because he tried to hit the ball out of his hand.
Yeah, but well, he did get one.
Dylan Brooks was acting up, though. Yeah, no, there were antics.
I was fine with that, but I thought they was just going to look right past Steph Curry and catch Dylan Brooks with the ball in his hand or the red hand.
Yeah.
And I know that my guy Sho, he's probably laughing at me right now because he thinks that, you know, he thinks that I'm wilding on this. But I feel like this is a thing. I feel like people just talk about Steph Curry as if he's just this little cute. And I'm like, nah, man.
Yeah.
Like, he be out here talking more trash than some of these other ones.
And there's nothing wrong with talking trash.
No, I'm good with
but
it.
Don't but try to act like, oh, he's so sweet and innocent.
Yeah.
It feels like throwing rocks and hiding your hands. That's what it feels like.
I saw him in 2016 throw his mouthpiece.
Yo, yeah.
And all that stuff. Yeah. Get ejected. I saw all that stuff, man. Like, don't act like he just play the game right and all this other stuff. Nah, man. You be talking smack too.
Yeah, it gets under my skin, and I feel like last night was another one where I was like, I want y'all to see this. Y'all see it? Do you see it?
Man, I got to confess, I had secondhand embarrassment last night watching the Rockets, specifically Jalen Green. I was so embarrassed of that performance he put out yesterday to the point I think he was pretty much benched in the fourth quarter. I was so embarrassed because the end of the last game was when him and Draymond Green had some words. And you can see clear as day Draymond pointing at his nails.
Yep.
And I'm just like.
Reportedly said, go paint your nails.
and see, I wasn't embarrassed at that part. To me, at that point, I'm like, oh, Jalen got to drop 45.
Yeah.
He got to go off in this game. Yep. He just got to. And you lay a dud like that.
Yep.
And didn't even play in the fourth quarter, man. And all of this because of Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't ever want Draymond Green to get the last laugh.
Well.
And it looked like he about to get the last laugh.
It does.
Like, dog, that's, to me, that's like somebody talking about your homeboy.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring up, oh, your homeboy was out here wilding with some ugly girl. Da, da, da. Mm-hmm. It's just like, dang, I can't even say nothing now.
Yeah.
Like, I got to take that on the chin. And now I'm embarrassed because he bringing my homeboy up.
I was embarrassed. It's understandable. Like, dude, man, show something, man.
Yeah, man. I thought Jalen Green, and this was me holding out hope, I thought he was going to come back with a monster game, man. Mm-hmm. Especially at how it ended last game.
And the other thing, and I mentioned this earlier, he could score 30 tomorrow night, and to me it wouldn't really even matter. Because you're down 3-1. You've already laid three eggs.
Wait, no, you got to stave off elimination.
No, there's no pressure now on him.
What do you mean there's no pressure? You staving off elimination.
Get out of here.
Stave.
But the thing, dude laid three eggs, but see, and now you score 30?
But see, that's been his whole career, yeah. I feel like, man. Like, yeah. Lay a couple duds, and then, 42, and then you got all these Jalen Green stands like, yeah. Oh, see, where all the haters at now.
Yeah.
It's like, nah,
dude, you're down 3-1.
Like, we know he can score, man. We know he can score. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all about being consistent, man. Mm-hmm. Like, dog, I ain't saying put up 40 points a night, but, yeah. Dog, let's be consistent
do
with it,
something,
man.
Bro.
Yeah.
Both of y'all's confessions kind of ties in with one that I had last night in the midst of all this shenanigans, as you put it, antics that
the
were going
antics.
On in the second quarter. I was sitting there thinking to myself, I wonder what, like, Bill Laimbeer and Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and, you know, Dennis Rodman and some of those old Knicks players, you know, pick your favorite
Gary
Knick.
Payton, what he Gary feeling about some of this.
I really, because the announcers were saying, we've got a mix-up, or we got a melee. I think they said melee or something like that. And I'm like, that ain't no freaking melee. Yeah. That's people arguing. That's all that. I wonder what they were thinking. Like, you want to say, I mean, they would take dudes to the floor face first and just call it a foul.
You know what I think? I think that they were more mad about that than typical because, I mean, there's always kind of that contingent that looks at the NBA right now and goes, nah, man, y'all soft compared to. And I can understand how you get there, especially because of the way that things are officiated. Mm-hmm. I think that those types of guys, all those guys you listed, are probably looking at these playoffs like, yeah, that's what I like.
They've allowed a lot more physicality. They like that.
That's what I'm saying. So I think that they were happy about that, and so they'd be really mad about on the other side, in the midst of you allowing more physicality, then coming back and being like, oh, so they pushing and that's a problem? Y'all thought y'all was going to let them play.
They did that every possession.
Yeah. I will say this last game, they let a lot go, man. Like,
they did.
Dylan Brooks and Jimmy Butler at the free throw line, when they was in the free throw lane.
He called them a beast.
And he called them a beast. Jimmy Butler had him by the neck.
Yes. I love that Bill Kennedy comes over like, did you say that about me? He's like, no, I was saying it about him.
And then they laugh. Okay, cool. He did. He was. But I think, how many times they had two significant melees on top of the other ones that you just mentioned,
like, quote unquote melees,
or whatever, scuffles, mix up, dust ups, punches would have been thrown. And I'm not saying I'm encouraging that. I'm just wondering what they were thinking. You know, what they were thinking. Like, you do that, I mean, somebody's going to throw a hand.
I just get irritated with the, we got to review this play. It's just like, oh, come on, man. We just in each other's face talking smack. Yeah. Like, ain't nobody do nothing. And it was even worse I think it was the game on Saturday. It was the Clippers and the Nuggets. And James Harden kind of did a little jab or whatever that was.
Yeah, it did look jab-like.
They took 20, 30 minutes reviewing that, man. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Like, you either going to give them a tech or throw them out, man. Yeah. Like, what are we doing? I don't know if they threw them out or not, but I'm like, what are y'all doing, man? Yeah. Y'all taking too much of my time.
Remember when Charles Barkley lifted Shaq and threw him, body slammed him on the ground?
Was that on the show recently?
No, maybe, but okay. I'm talking about it at the old compact center, like lifted him up, threw him on the body, slammed him on the ground, and Barkley threw the ball at him, and then he did that, and then they were throwing hands. And then you know what they did?
Get back to playing basketball.
Play on. Play on.
And 8-2, I'm not saying that this is exactly the same as old as basketball in the old days, but I mean, we saw a hand check, and we saw, hey man, them boys was getting physical with Steph Curry with that hand around the waist and everything. They have allowed a lot more physicality postseason. Not just this series, but all these series.
I'm surprised nobody did throw a punch. Mm-hmm. That's how it was getting really physical. I was just irritated with the whole, we got to go to the cameras and review it.
Yeah.
Like, what are y'all reviewing, man?
Yeah. And what would have happened
if it was a hostile act?
And what would have happened if somebody told Bill Laimbeer, go paint your nails?
Bill Laimbeer might have
met him in the locker room at that point.
He might have rearranged his, he might have taken vital organs out of that person.
He would have gone Silverback. He would have gone Silverback Gorilla on him.
It's possible. Yeah. It is possible. And I think that I thank you for making sure that it was Bill Laimbeer.
Oh, yeah, that could have gotten ugly fast.
Yes,
that could have gotten ugly very quickly.
So I'm very glad that you used that one in particular. But there you go. Those are your Lunchtime Confessions here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Again, appreciation to the Men's Clinic for bringing that to you. You're in the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, a man who was drafted in this past draft. In lead up, he said something that I found to be really interesting. I want to examine it. Do you agree with Ashton Gentry that there is a running back renaissance happening in the NFL? 713-572-4610, because I want to talk about that next. Is Ashton Gentry right about this? The now Las Vegas Raider. I had to remember exactly where he went because I was like, am I remembering mock drafts or am I remembering the actual draft? That is where my brain is. That is what we have done over the last few months, is looked at so many mock drafts and I'm trying to remember which one is the real one. No, but Ashton Gentry, now Las Vegas Raider, in the lead up to the draft. Obviously, a man of great interest, as you know, blue chip type of guy, and looked like he's going to be really good for the Raiders. By the way, I really liked their draft just overall. But
I said I like the Patriots too.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
We could talk more about that as we go. But he's talking about the position or the value of running backs. We know in the NFL, it feels like that had been relatively devalued.
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw a season where some veteran free agents, including, or not free agents, but some veteran acquisitions, including Joe Mixon here in Houston, really highlighted, you know, the value that running backs have. And Ashton Gentry said that he felt like this year's draft class would be a part of a wave of players that would continue pushing the value of running backs even higher, saying, quote, "I think the value is definitely going back up, courtesy of guys in the league doing it, but also guys in college playing at a high level." He said, quote, "I had a really great historic season, but there were a lot of great guys who had great season as well and did great things in college football. People are it's like a little running back renaissance," he says, "but I believe it's here. The time is now. Get you a great running back to be that X factor for your offense," close quote. Do you agree with Ashton Gentry that we are seeing and that we're in the midst of a running back renaissance?
Yeah, I do, but I also think it's worth digging in. This is why I like this question that you're asking.
Thanks, man.
As to why. Obviously, the easy answer is Saquon and, you know, some of the success that these sort of second life running backs have had here in recent years. I think it goes beyond that. I had a really interesting discussion yesterday with a friend of mine who knows football and has been in the game and such. And he was talking about how NIL is a big factor with some of these players now because they tend to come out a little older. They tend to come out having known that the college game now puts as much of an emphasis, now that not always successfully, but as much of an emphasis on blocking. Back in the day, it was just pitch the ball to this guy. Who cares if he can block? That's not how it works anymore.
Yeah.
You know, guys are staying longer in college. They're going to be older, and that trend is only going to continue. And they have to pass block to stay on the field in college. That gives you a better – it's not just a renaissance of the running back because people are realizing, yeah, we really do need them. But it's the renaissance in terms of the product that you're getting at running back. Let's look at some of the ones that were taken. How about the one taken here? Woody Marks.
Yeah.
Great receiver out of the backfield. Like, great. I think that's one of his strengths. A lot of running, a lot of experience, has been in multiple, you know, a lot of these running backs have been in multiple programs, multiple systems. You're getting a better product at the running back position. Really every position, and including quarterback, but especially at the running back position. And remember when people would say, oh, you can get a running back in the third or fourth round, right? Oh, you can get a running back in the third or fourth round. Six running backs were taken in the first three rounds.
Correct. Yeah. Two first-round picks, including Ashton Gentry and Omarion Hampton. Three in the second round. Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson, shout-out to Ohio State. And then also R.J. Harvey out of UCF slid in at the end of the second round. And then you mentioned your guy, Caleb Johnson, out of Iowa, goes to the Steelers in the third. Those are the day two, one and two, rather, picks at running back. Which is noteworthy. And I think that would be the thing that I maybe lean on if I start pointing to the idea of some level of resurgence, seeing that, you know, teams are willing to use somewhat premium draft capital for running backs. Or maybe that speaks more just to this class in particular, that you feel like you have a strong running back class as opposed to anything in a larger scale, but at the very least, you do see that strong running back class. I don't think I agree with Ashton here, though.
Really?
I don't think I agree with him, because I think that when we talk about a running back renaissance, we're not talking about a lack of talented running backs.
Mm-hmm.
We can find talented running backs. I think the big thing has been a more of a team-building philosophy standpoint of looking at, is the value of this running back, what does it mean comparatively to the value of having my quarterback paid? And what does it mean to the value mm-hmm. of, and when I say value, that's largely what I'm talking about, right? It is how do you allocate your resources towards quarterback, towards wide receivers, towards offensive line, towards those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't think we're doing that to a high degree to running backs. I think that I'm interested to see how this continues to play out when you see the likes of teams maybe having gone too far on the evaluation process, willing to move on from a Saquon Barkley, willing to move on from a Derrick Henry at the expense and not realizing that they still have a lot of value there. But I do think that we're still in a place, and I don't know that I'm willing to abandon the thought process that, okay, maybe you're not getting 100% of Saquon Barkley mm-hmm. or Derrick Henry or Joe Mixon, but it still feels like you can take that and go, we can get 75% of that production for a relatively cheap draft pick. And I mean, like, when you talk about Woody Marks in the fourth round, mm-hmm. if you did not have Joe Mixon, right, can you join me in this parallel universe where the Texans don't have Joe Mixon? Would you feel good going into the season with that guy running back one?
I would feel pretty good about what he offers.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So what would you need? Like a second running back in that space? If I gave you Woody Marks and Trevor Etienne at the same time, would you then be in that space? And I think that that's what we're talking about. I don't know that you're going to get to a place where the running back renaissance takes you to the place where you go back to, this guy is my dominant running back and I build things around him and he stops the show for other things. I think we're still in that place where the churn happens. We maybe are just, again, mm-hmm. realizing that people have gone too far on the over-indexing trying to make value.
But I think we're looking at a renaissance two different ways. You're looking at the renaissance as in an Ashton Jeanty type who might be just a workhorse, 1,500, 1,600 yeah. yard rusher. I'm looking at the renaissance as you need the value of running backs is prioritized much more, specifically because people need two that they can use, two or three. Like, how many teams now, go every Sunday knowing they're going to get a lot of carries from two running backs? To me, that's kind of a renaissance, that they know they need the running. They might not have the workhorse, but they have two guys that can do like what a Joe Mixon can do and maybe even with Marks, et cetera. So I think that they're realizing that they're getting a better finished product and they need more of them. To me, that's the renaissance,
But I don't know that we've seen guys that have not felt like they've needed more of them. Like we've had, in fact, that's where the devaluation has come, is that there's been so many running backs that people go, I don't have to focus on this one. Mm-hmm. I don't have to focus necessarily on, I don't know, Ezekiel Elliott or what have you, or Derrick Henry, because I feel like I can get the next guy to give me some level of passable production at a much cheaper price.
Oh, no, I disagree with that. I think the value of a super running back, and that's the other part. I mean, there's just not that many of those. I mean, you mentioned Zeke Elliott. How many running backs in his era were that caliber? Emmitt, if you want to go back a little further, or Derrick Henry now, or something.
Adrian Peterson. Yeah, Chris Johnson.
There just aren't a lot of LaDainian. There just aren't a lot of those. But I think the people are prioritizing, they need a lot of good running backs, and they're prioritizing how much they need them to pass block, to run, to catch the ball, et cetera. So I do think that their eyes are a little bit more open, as evidenced by six running backs in the first three rounds.
Right.
And
I'd like this mm-hmm. particular draft. I think maybe I'd like to see over some more years if you continue to see that mm-hmm. draft capital investment at the top of the draft, if that maybe speaks to this in some way. But also, are we certain that you talked about it, there's not that many of those guys? How many years do you think you're going to come with an Ashton Jeanty at the top of this to make this look?
There's always another one, man.
Way? So
there's always another one.
I'll be very interested to see how that continues to go. But again, I want to bring this back home. Like, how do you feel about this running back room where you have Joe Mixon at the top and then, Damian Pierce, Woody Marks. Woody Marks mm-hmm. and then Dare Ogunbowale. Like, is Dare on watch?
On watch.
He's on notice.
Again, this has been a Frank Ross offseason. He's getting what he wants in special teams, and and Dari offers so much. I think Dameon Pierce is someone that to keep an eye on. Now, maybe they have four because Dari does the special teams thing and all that. But I think it's more about Dameon Pierce. I mean, they just drafted this dude. They're going to use him. They're going to use Marks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they traded up to get him.
They
gave up a third next year, mm-hmm. which you talked about that being a little bit. Does it make you feel any better if you look at next year's draft, seeing that they still have 8 picks available to them, including 3 of them that'll be in the top 64, meaning that you have 3 picks in the first 2 rounds, mm-hmm. a first, Washington's second, and your own second, and then a third round pick. Does that make you feel any better, or are you still just in that place where you're like, value itself matters more?
It does make me feel better. Third round pick is a lot of value. That's a high pick.
It is value.
And so I just think it speaks to.
By the way, shout out to Drew Daughtry for putting
Daugherty.
Daugherty.
Yeah. Okay. It's all right. Roger Daughtry, you know, from The Who. Drew Daugherty from HoustonTexans.com.
Shout out to Drew.
Shout out to Roger Daughtry.
Eventually I'll get your name right. It might take a few more weeks.
No, it speaks to how much they value this guy and the running back position, kind of bringing it back to that. I mean, they know they need this guy.
From the 713, the renaissance is the friends we made along the way. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Did you see Jonathan Alexander put out his way too early 53-man roster?
Oh, I did not.
Yeah. We could talk about this more as we continue, maybe tomorrow even.
Let me see this.
But he does have the Texans, one, by the way, with 2 quarterbacks. Maybe having Graham Mertz make it to your practice squad, something like that. But when it comes to running backs, he has them carrying 4 running backs, is what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Mixon, Pierce, Dare, and Woody.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if you consider this a running back as well, a fullback as well.
Sure.
In Jacob Johnson or Jakob Johnson. I still don't remember how to pronounce his name. I got to apologize for that. I got to double check on that. But like, maybe that is also part of the notion of a renaissance of just loading more into that running back space, as you were talking about.
Yeah, and you know, everybody, you know, talks about, oh, it's a passing league. It is, but a lot of those passes come out of the backfield, and I think that's where they're getting a lot of a boost as well, the running backs. The other interesting thing here is, you know, when you look at the depth chart, Woody Marks, we just agreed, is going to play. He's going to be your number 2 running back, at least penciled in by John Harris and others.
Is that what we're calling it? Penciled in? Okay, very good. I'll write that one down.
Yeah, penciled in. But
no, that might be printed.
That's in ink. Write it down in ink. Dameon Pierce, you know, they
love that cat, man. They love that cat. I think that he also...
I agree with that.
To his credit.
No, I think they do love him a lot.
Mm-hmm. To his credit, he also showed... In places, the value that he still has, mm-hmm. and that he can give you last season in the midst of what we were all looking at as mm-hmm. a problematic offense. And so I do wonder, in a circumstance where, if we are to kind of hypothesize what the offense looks like going forward, and especially if it looks something like mm-hmm. what, you know, we might anticipate you saw from the Patriots, that does feel like that would situate well for him, and he still has that talent that
he does have that going for him.
And you haven't been able to utilize it nearly as much. You were using the carries or paying for the yards early in year one. You haven't gotten as many of those yards out. You might be able to squeeze more if you get some more out of him.
The run game is going to look a lot more like 2022 than 2023 and 2024.
I'm excited to see it. Very excited to see it. Also, before we go here, excited to congratulate special teams coordinator Frank Ross on being inducted to what might be the most important Hall of Fame in all of football, the John Carroll University Athletics Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's better than the real Hall of Fame.
I mean, apparently all the football come from John Carroll University.
Hey, that's the real football Hall of Fame right there.
You got half the Texans wearing jackets. Half the Texan staff is wearing jackets. What color is the John Carroll? Red and blue? Are they red and blue?
But it looked like it's some gold and navy, mm-hmm. almost Notre Dame like of sorts. So I imagine that's what they would be doing.
That's a school up in the cut too, man.
blue and gold
out there in the sticks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shout out to Frank
Ross.
I've
been out there a couple times.
University Heights.
Yep, and University. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. All right, from the 8-2. Try and imagine John Harris's wife have to hear that every time. Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Lord.
That's what I get for reading without proofreading. I just, God, all right. Y'all getting a little loose on a Tuesday now, all right? And from the 832, from the 832, not many brothers named Woody. He must be good. I sure hope so. I'm very excited. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I feel ashamed. coming up next, is this a solved series? Rockets, Warriors? I'll tell you what I mean on the other side. Next.